is through the gift of God, which God offers freely to anybody who asks for it, is a permanent pass, a permanent acceptance into heaven without the penalty of death. And that is true. It's kind of like if somebody commits a murder in cold blood. They walk up to somebody and they go, bam, shoot them in the face. They'll get the death penalty. But if you shoot 100 people in the face, you get the same death penalty, right? That's the wages of sin. That's not what that verse is talking about. But too often we have used it and we have rationalized stuff. And I have done it many times before. And then as I started looking at it, I realized that there's actually a little bit more, because while the heavenly consequences are of hell are the same, every other consequence, it's not so much so. For example, here's this. In John 19:11, the setup for this story is that, you know, Pilate had Jesus and he was asking Jesus questions. I was just reading this week in my devotions. And he's Jesus, you know, kind of just got tired of answering Pilate. And Pilate's like, answer me. Yeah, I think he was asking, are you the king of the Jews? And Pilate says, don't you know that I have the power? I have the power. And Jesus says, you ain't got no power. You ain't got power over me unless it were given to you from above. But here's the part that I want you to get. The one who handed me over to you, which is Judas, has the greater sin than you, Pilate, the one who you think has the power over me. So God, Jesus himself actually said that, that has the greater sin. Another place where it is in Luke 20, where it says, beware of the teachers of the law, the scribes, and they who like to walk around wearing fancy clothes and you know, they love people to greet them with respect in the marketplace because they look upstanding and they look like, you know, they look good. But they cheat widows and steal their houses and then try to make themselves look good by saying long prayers. They will receive a greater punishment. I'm going to pause there for a second and just kind of, you know, I tell you, woe to anybody who cheats seniors and widows out of their money, out of their homes. You know, it goes from evangelists, televangelists who have a bad heart, because some do. I don't know which ones, but I'm sure some do. To the guys calling from the Microsoft line because your computer, Microsoft knows that your computer is bad. You cheat a widow or you cheat a senior out of something, you are going to receive a greater punishment. God is going to come down on you and you know, just don't do it, because I don't want to be you when that punishment comes down on you. And so, you know, because that's what these guys are doing. They were, you know, convincing people to give them money, whatever, and people would lose, the widows would lose their homes. He says, those guys receive a greater punishment. And I joke about the Microsoft line. My mom, it could have been Mother's Day because I give you my mom's stories all day. She has a knack. You know, like people tell you that, well, in today's day and age, nobody gets saved by you going up and saying to them, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you say, they say, no. It's like, why don't you accept him today? And they accept him. My mom, and by the way, my mother-in-law, they have that ability. It blows my mind. So this guy calls from the Microsoft. He says he's from Microsoft. You know, it's a fake. You know, he's like, you know, he is a foreign accent. And he says, my name is Bob, you know, from the Microsoft line. And your computer's call has all these problems. Give us your password and so we can log in and then go down to the street and pay some money, you know, wire some money and we'll fix it for you. So my mom has a son who knows something about computers. So she was aware of this scam. And so she listened and she said to the person, she's like, do you have a mother? Do you have a grandmother? Because if what you're doing, how would you feel if somebody did that to you, your mother, your grandmother? Would you feel good about that? And the person was like, no, ma'am. It's a true story. And she says, you know, what you're doing is wicked and evil. And he's like, do you know that? He's like, yes, ma'am. And she's like, would you like to repent of your sins and no longer do this ever again? He said, yes, ma'am. And she led him to the Lord on the Microsoft line. So Bob will now be in heaven. Only my mother and my mother-in-law, because they both can do that same thing. I don't have that gift. of doing that. But a third sin that I say that is not all equal is the area of sexual sin. And it's and 1 Corinthians 6, 18, Paul says, like, you know, run from it because no other sin. It's like, this sin is like in a category by itself, so clearly affects the body as this one. It's like, run from it. And I'm not going to dwell on that today, but I'll just tell you is that, you know, I've said it many times over. There's amazing statistics in Google about what happens, when you engage in this, right? So run from it. So three examples where not every sin is the same. The people's like, well, all sins are the same. Well, yeah, and from a hell perspective, yeah, but from an earthly consequence, not so much so, right? The third strategy that he uses is this. He wants to desensitize us. He wants to desensitize us from this and somehow make it seem less wrong. And it's more commonplace. You know, it says, you know, well, all the cool people are doing it and they seem like they're having so much fun. And not only the cool people are doing it, even the uncool people are doing it. It's like everybody is doing it. And not only them, even really the most uncool people of all, Christians are doing it too. So, you know, Christians aren't supposed to be cool. And so, you know, they just, and the media bombards us with these messages over and over and over that, you know, that things that you know, this, it's like everybody's doing this, it's cool. And you see it, right? It's kind of the whole desensitization that's happening. When I was growing up, when I say when I was growing up, it seems like I'm an old man. I'm not, but that's why I can't grow my beard, because it does seem that way. But when I was growing up, like in the movies, and somebody would like, you know, if, you know, my wife used to joke and say, a movie star kiss, back in the, I didn't grow up in the 50s, but if you watch 50s movies, would be like this. The lips would be like locked tightly, and you go, and just move their head back and forth, and lips are like closed, right? And not so much now, right? I used to watch soap operas when I got home from high school. And, you know, some people used to watch, like, General Hospital. I watched The Guiding Light. You guys ever, anybody know about The Guiding Light? All right, one person in here. I know one person in here who will admit it. So I remember the first time I saw an open mouth kiss on Guiding Light, I literally ran and called my brother, like, Wayne, they're kissing for real. Not so much now, right? Homosexuality, it's kept in a closet. It would never be on the movies or stuff. Not so much now. So it's kind of like we've desensitized our media as doing that. And we kind of hear people like, you know, like I said before, you know, well, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. But again, the question is by whose standard? But what standard are we using for what's really good or what's bad? Because when we look at that standard, we're righteous. But when we look at the one who created the standard, not righteous. In Romans 3:10, he says this, you know, as the scripture says, there is no one righteous. Not one. Not one. And we're like, but I'm not as, God's like, the standard setter is like, none of us are righteous. Not one of us. And in Isaiah, he says this, and we quote this verse all the time, and it's like, you know, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. You know, righteousness are like filthy rags. It's like, ooh, you know, we get this viewpoint that, you know, righteousness are like some muddy rags or anything like that. But it's actually pretty much more graphic than that. It's very, very graphic where Isaiah was telling the people that kind of the message from God that, and I'm going to show you the graphic words because it's word that, you know, even curse words are made of in Jamaica. Right? This is literally, and this is another translation, of what the literal saying is. I'm not even going to read it. You guys can read it. Right? It says that we, our righteousness are like that. That's how, when God looks at the standard of his righteousness compared to our righteousness, that's what it looks like. It's pretty graphic, huh? And since we are like leaves, our sins, our iniquity, our wrongdoing, they just carry us away like the wind. Because we keep thinking that we're so good and we're so good. In the meantime, we're just literally being desensitized and just being carried away by the wind and carrying us far from God's favor. God's favor. And towards, you're headed for destruction. And so we keep on comparing against the wrong standard, you know, and against God, we don't ever come close to measuring up. So the devil's like, all right, this is what he tries to do. And you see all of this, it's like actually kind of depressing, right? Because the devil is like coming to kill, steal, and destroy. He's like, hide it, rationalize it, desensitize you. All of it is to lead you away from God's favor and into destruction. But, and that leads us to the statements. It doesn't really matter what you do. As long as it doesn't hurt anyone or nobody is getting hurt, it doesn't really matter what you do. It leads us to the point where we make statements like, well, anything between two consenting adults. You guys have heard that one too, right? Anything between two consenting adults. But here's the truth. It does matter. It does matter what you do, because the problem is, it does matter what you do because sin always hurts somebody. It just does. And you may be thinking like, well, I'm, you know, if I walk into the store and I lift away, take something out, it doesn't hurt anybody. The store got lots of money. Well, the reality is that everybody's prices get increased because they have to cover the shrinkage. You think about all this other stuff that goes on. And I was reading an article this past week that says the number of babies born with syphilis, the STD, doubled between last year and this year. Babies born with syphilis, a disease that they thought they eradicated, because the reality is that it does matter what you do, because sin always hurts somebody. You know, and you just can't really get away with it. Somebody always gets hurt. But there's something that sin always does also. It always kills something. And I've mentioned that before. The wages of sin, the penalty, the payment for sin is death. It kills something. It kills your relationship. It kills your joy. And so we go around thinking that we can do things. We can take that extra deduction on our tax form. We can creatively change stuff and so that our FAFSA application comes out so we can get more student aid. And we think that that's good, and we use nice terms for it. We use it as a finesse. This is just a finesse. Like, ooh, he finessing. Y'all know it's true. Like, somebody does something, instead of saying, dude, man, that's wrong, we're like, oh, that was a finesse. Like, man, I finessed that test. What did he do? I cheated. And so we do it, and we know things are contrary to the things that we're supposed to do, but man, let me tell you, a finesse, y'all can tell me the truth. A finesse that you get away with feels good, doesn't it? Y'all are gonna like nobody's looking at him. I don't want to smile because he's gonna think it's me. Sin feels good momentarily. And that's a trap. All right, that's a trap. It we momentarily feel good, and we go around thinking that it's gonna make us lives, our lives better, but really it's a lie from the pit of hell. But, you know, and we go on believing the lie. But I'm here to tell you this morning that sin kills. It's killing something. It's killing us. It's killing things in our lives that we are missing out. It's carrying us away from God's favor, because its ultimate goal is to lead us to destruction. But I believe that today, it doesn't have to be that way. I believe that today, and this is really The whole thing today is just simply about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ that says, it don't gotta be that way. God says, I got a better way. Like the devil has a way, but I got a better way. If the devil has a but I got a better pattern. The devil has a lie, but I got the truth. The devil has destruction, but I got joy and peace and goodness all over you. And it doesn't have to be that way. Ain't nothing that you've done in the past that you're currently doing needs to continue, because right now God's like, it does matter what you do. It does matter what you do, whether you're doing that or whether you're doing this. It does matter what you do. Everything that you do has earthly consequences and has spiritual implications. It just does, regardless of whether you think you're hurting somebody or not, because if you're doing that way, sin always hurts somebody. So the statement, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you don't hurt anybody, it's untrue, because it does matter. And God never said that. And I want, you know, I think that God, in every fiber of his being, in every fiber of my being, I want your tomorrows to be so much better than your yesterdays. I just have that desire. By the way, you know why I have that desire for you? Because I have that desire for myself, right? And I want for you the same thing that I want for myself, which is joy and peace and strength. And so I stand up here, you know, and sometimes, to be honest, I feel like, you know, this voice crying in the wilderness. And then other times I don't feel that way, but I want your tomorrows to be so much better than your todays. I want your tomorrows to be so much better than your yesterdays. And God's like, I got a better plan. And you're like, man, I struggle with this all over. And God's like, look, I know you struggle with it, but I want to tell you something, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And my man over here, the devil over here, is trying to kill, steal, and destroy. God's like, look, I got a better plan. I'm in you. He's not sitting outside of you if you know him. He's like sitting inside of you. And he's like telling you, he's like trying to help you, you know, steer the car. And some of us are fighting against the way because we keep looking over there and we're fighting and the Holy Spirit's in the car trying to steer us back. He's like, hey, I'll tell you, this is the way you want to go. But some of us keep looking over there. He's like, the one who's in you is better and he's greater than the one who's not in you. You know, and so and I'm here to tell you this morning that it says in Isaiah 54:17, the devil is going to come with all his weapons and stuff, but if you keep your eyes fixated and do some of the things I'm about to tell you, no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17, I believe that is. And I can tell you here, and he's like, but Pastor Gary, those are just words. I've tried. The weapons that are formed against me have been prospering. I keep trying and I keep failing and I know the right thing to do. And because I failed, I'm just like, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I'm not hurting anybody. And you're living a defeated life. And I want to tell you this morning that you don't have to live a defeated life. And here's why. These are your takeaways for today. And you know what people say, if you're a note taker, that would be the time to take notes. And if, I think Terrence said a couple weeks ago, last week, like, if you want to go to heaven, take notes, you know. It's not scriptural, but it's a funny, kind of funny thing to say. Here's what I'll tell you. It doesn't have to be this way. Three things I want you to take away. Number one, be aware of your triggers. Every one of us have weaknesses. Every one of us. The devil knows the trigger to our weakness. There's something that's going to pop us back into that life that he wants us to be in. And God wants to say, like, hey, I want you to know yourself and to know your triggers, to be honest with yourself and start to think through, what are the things that I do right before I do the things that I don't want to do? What are the things that I do? What are the situations that I'm in? That I'm in right before I do the things that I don't want to do. And those are your triggers, because somehow you put yourself in that. I use the edge of the stage all the time, that you go to the edge, and you go to the edge, just stay away from the edge. You're like, but I can handle it. I can handle it. I can go to the edge. I can balance on one foot. I can balance. Well, I can't. I was going to try to balance on one toe. I'd fall. But you can't balance on one toe. You can't. Why are you going to the edge? Stay away from the edge. If you believe that your boundaries, sexually speaking, is right here, I believe that I can handle myself right here, stand right here. Beware of your triggers. If you know that every time I go to a certain place, I get in trouble, don't go to that place. Because if you didn't handle it the other 10 times, you're not going to handle it the 11th. The second thing that I'll tell you is this, and I spent a little part here on this, which is be weaponized. Be like Iron Man. Eh? Have you guys ever seen the movie Iron Man? All right, thank you. One person. Anybody seen the movie Iron Man? All right, Iron Man. So Iron Man is pretty cool because Iron Man has this iron suit on that can withstand anything. It can withstand bullets. It can withstand rockets. It can withstand stuff. It's like, you know, but he's just like this suit. But the suit is not only for defense. The suit got all these. It's got rifles, guns, rockets, lasers. It's got all kind of stuff. He's got a whole armor. When I say weaponize, God's got an armor for you and me to put on. He's like, put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to withstand against the darts and the wiles of the devil. You can be an Iron Man. Let me tell you, when you put on the whole armor of God. Because you get all kinds of stuff, man. All right, so here's some of the things you get. You get a belt of truth. The truth is you stand in the truth and you're like, I'm going to stand up for truth regardless of how unpopular that is. Suit up. You get the breastplate covering for all your chest area, and all your stomach area, your vital organs, and that is righteousness. He's like, you know what? I'm going to live. I'm going to do what's right, even if it's unpopular, even if it makes me seem kind of like a square. Because what you're doing is you're putting on that iron suit to be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. You need to be about peace and not be the one who gets angry and the one who, like, all the time comes in and is the one who's stirring up problems. You need to be the one who's, all right, let's resolve this. That's the good news of peace. It's the gospel of peace. It's still kind of like a defensive thing, right? To like, you know, like, all right, I'm girding up peace, righteousness, and truth. And the helmet of salvation, which is where it really all, because it covers your head. It covers your head, and the salvation is that when you ask Jesus to come into your life, he starts to govern your thinking and your thoughts. And when you put on that helmet of salvation, it protects you from all this kind of junk that's out there. And you're like, I'm going to rest in you, Jesus. I'm going to follow what you say. And your mind and your thoughts and your actions and the things that you do just starts to change all over the place. And then now, here's the offensive. You get some weapons. You get the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When you know, and this is the Bible. This is the gospel. There's a game that Cameron's playing. This is the gospel. Can you tell the gospel? This is the Bible. When you know what's inside of there, you are weaponized on the offensive. You can say, thus saith the Lord. It is written. I did a message on that a few years ago, and I started calling out, it is written. Jesus himself did it. He weaponized himself that when the devil tried to tempt him, he looked and he says, it is written. The devil cowers by the sword. Take time to get to know and read your Bible and be in your word. It's really like critical because a good defense is great, but you can't win a game if you never score a goal. The game may end up 0-0, but you can't win if you never go on the offensive. And the last thing, the last offensive weapon is this, is prayer. 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 It's like, I can't tell you enough. The Bible encourages us to pray without ceasing. It's like all the time, just constantly talking to God. Anything that you come up in your daytime, just like, God, I need your help. I tell you, you know, I'll tell you things that I don't do well on and things that I do well on. Let me tell you, I pray constantly. In my job, I have a big presentation tomorrow where I'm going to try and convince people to spend what could in essence be hundreds of millions of dollars. It's actually millions of dollars. And at 11 o'clock tomorrow when I walk into that meeting, it's walking in prayer. And before I open up my mouth, and every time somebody raises an object, I'm like, okay, God, give me the right thing to say. And that's just one example. But all throughout, as you go and you hit these temptations, like, God, I feel myself being pulled towards the edge. I don't want to go there. But But you got to open up your mouth and talk it out to God. You got to talk it out to God. And the final thing I'll say is, first one is be aware of your triggers. Second one is be weaponized with the whole armor of God. And the third thing is to be protected. To be protected, because even the Iron Man needed the Avengers. You guys know what I'm talking about. The Avengers were a bunch of other superheroes that had to come around the Iron Man, because the Iron Man by himself couldn't come up. And by the way, sometimes the devil seems like Theranos, whatever that guy's name is. Thanos, what's his name? Thanos. It's a superhero that's like beating out all of the good guys. But there's always a round two. There's always a sequel. He's coming back, because the good guys win. They always do. And so you may lose a battle, but you win the war. The thing is that protection comes from accountability partners. Every one of us should have somebody who can speak truth into life. I stress it. I will say it every week. I'll say it multiple times every week. You need a small group. You need an accountability partner. You need a Paul in your life, somebody who's mentoring you. You need a Timothy, somebody who you're pouring into. Every one of us, because that's the only way we're protected. We were not meant to live this life alone. There is protection in unity. There's protection in transparency. Be aware. Be weaponized. And be protected. And that really is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ says every action matters. It matters what you do. So choose right. Choose right, and it begins with choosing Jesus to be in control of your life. And it's so easy. It's so easy to chase the momentary pleasure, because sin is fun momentarily. But Jesus says, choose life. Choose better life. Choose abundant life, because that's the only thing that will satisfy. As the worship team sings, I'm going to ask you to rise with us. And I want to tell you this, that I don't know where this message hits you. Some people it's slapping in the face. Some people it's like, yeah, I've heard this all before. That's fine. But I want to tell you this morning that there's better. There's more. There is victory. There is joy. And wherever you are in your life, God wants you to experience that. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this, the day that you have made. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that these are the people who you've brought in our midst today to hear this message. As I prayed to you before and throughout the week, that says, Lord, bring in the people in this place who needs to hear this message. The implications are, if they need to hear a different message, they should go someplace to hear that message that you have for them. So the fact is that everybody who's here, this message was meant for you. So I don't know where it hits you, but Lord, I pray that you'll just speak to that spot. And Lord, that people will experience victory and the resulting joy that comes from being where they're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be up front here. Our services are over. The praise team's going to sing. You're welcome to stay and sing along with us. But I'll be up front. I really encourage you to not leave here without experiencing the joy. As the song says, if you only know the blessing that salvation brings, you would never stay away.
Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father.